This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
David Toscano is a member of the Virginia House of Delegates, a former mayor of the city of Charlottesville, and you represent the city of Charlottesville and the urban ring of Albemarle County, is that right?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Charlottesville and Albemarle.
There you go. How are you doing?
I go across the borders.
Hey, David, we have a lot of people who are new to this community. They just got here from Omaha. Tell us, give us a 101. When did you move here? It was, what, late 70s, about 1980?
1981. So yeah. I've been here a long time, and I served 12 years on the city council, a couple years of mayor of the city of Charlottesville, and I have the 57th House seat in the House of Delegates, so I'm one of 100 delegates, and my seat includes the entire city and the areas to the east, to the north, and to the west of Charlottesville, kind of the urban ring out to Ivy.
So, oh, there you go. Good.
I'm one of probably four successors to what Thomas Jefferson's seat was in the House of Delegates back when he served a long, long time ago.
There you go. Let's start with money, because the upcoming General Assembly, which starts when?
January 13th. Wednesday, and runs until February 27th or 28th. Unless we go into extra innings.
This is a budget session. Every 2 years, the Virginia General Assembly maps out a budget for the following 2 years.
Well, this is the adjustment year. We had the last year's a long session where we did the biennial budget.
Oh, that's
this
right.
is
okay.
the year we sort of tweak the budget, but because of the way the economy is going, it's almost like a full-scale revision because we're finding that the revenues are creating a pretty big challenge for us in the short term.
And the budget that that was passed this past year is evidently off by billions.
Off by billions. You know, the most recent estimate is about $2.9 billion.
Gosh.
And Governor Kaine tomorrow will reveal his plans for how we're going to address that problem. You know, fortunately, we still have revenues coming in. And fortunately as well, we're better off than a lot of states. But the challenging news is that we still have a huge gap to bridge. And there's going to be a little bit of pain along the way, I fear.
What do you foresee is going to happen vis-a-vis this budget, whether it's the governor's proposals or what you think actually might happen in session?
Well, I think there's broad consensus that we're going to have to be really focused in this session to make sure that the cuts that have to be imposed hit those people who can feel it more than others, to the extent anybody can. And we keep core services in place to serve the priorities of the Commonwealth, whether it's K-12 education, public safety, health, higher education. We need to be really focused and targeted and keeping the things that people believe are important to fund.
We're talking with David Toscano, a member of the Virginia House of Delegates, and he's taking your calls, comments, and questions at 977-1070. I know he would love to hear from you. Pick up the phone, give us a call. We were just talking with Ken Bernstein about education. Education in Virginia is obviously right. going to get
well,
hit, don't you think?
Yeah, there are two areas that are near and dear to my heart. K through 12, of course, is probably my number one priority, and higher education, which is really at the top of the list, given that we have the University of Virginia and PVCC. And in the last round of cuts, which occurred within the last 6 months, the governor took the position that K through 12 was going to be held harmless. We were not going to cut K through 12 in the first year of the biennium. But it's very clear that there are going to need to be some cuts this time around to K through 12. And the question is, where are they going to be focused and how deep will they be? It's my view that if we're going to look at K through 12, we need to try to keep the resources in the classroom. So to the extent you cut on the support side, cut on the administrative side, but leave the teachers in the classroom with good student-teacher ratios and with the resources necessary to deliver what all of us think is important, quality education for all Virginians.
Yeah. How do you think the most people will agree with that?
Well, I think, you know, it'll be interesting because last year the majority party in the House took the position that we should change the formula by which we fund K through 12 education, with the result that places like Albemarle would have received a cut initially of about $2 million a year. Now, I think the governor's approach is going to be more focused and targeted to keep the resources in the classroom. And it remains to be seen how it sorts out at the end of the day.
We're talking with David Toscano, who represents the city of Charlottesville and part of Albemarle County in the Virginia House of Delegates. What are you focused on, aside from the obvious budget issues? I'm curious what you're focused on for this upcoming General Assembly session, which starts, as you say, in mid-January.
Well, you know, I think the first thing is that you have I have a series of bills that I'll be introducing. And one of the decisions I made very early in the process of assembling my bills is that I would not introduce any bill that had a fiscal impact in any sense. I've had some great bills in the past that provided tax breaks for people who had energy conserving homes, the Earthcraft home. I've considered bills that would give tax breaks to people who put solar collectors on their house, all kinds of things that are wonderful ideas, but not in this budget year. So my focus is going to be pretty narrow on things that will either move some money around to different places or will make some changes in law that will help people. And I can give you some examples of that if you want.
Sure, absolutely.
For example, I've got several bills related to transportation. One is a bill that will take a pot of money that's called the Rail Enhancement Fund, which presently can be used to upgrade the infrastructure of the railways, the tracks, the ties, the rail itself, for the benefit of private industry, and use some of that money for the operation of passenger rail. There have been a number of us who have been working very hard to get a daily train running from Washington, D.C. through Charlottesville to Lynchburg and back on a round-trip basis. We're trying to find a source of revenue. That might be a source of revenue without having to raise any additional revenue in the budget. So we're going to be working on that to see if we can
change the law. But the money is there to do that program on a pilot basis, right? Starting next fall?
There is some money that potentially is there. And there are a number of us up and down the corridor have been working to make sure that that money is used on a pilot program and to see how it would work.
We're talking with David Toscano, and he's taking your calls and questions at 977-1070. John's been waiting patiently on the line. John, you're on with David Toscano. You go right ahead.
Well, thank you. Good evening, Delegate Toscano.
Hello, John. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great.
You mentioned that you certainly won't be introducing any legislation that will involve additional money. But one piece of legislation that I hope you will give some thought of introducing relates to those in our state that have committed felonies. Virginia is one of only two states in the union that really has come down hard on those that have committed felonies and have done their time. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a great question, and there are a lot of different answers to that. One is having to do with how long people serve in jail. You know, that has a real fiscal impact, and we need to look at our incarceration rates in Virginia and focus on putting in jail and keeping in jail those people who are most violent and the greatest threats. And perhaps look at different ways to transition those people who are nonviolent offenders back into the community, because it's astronomical, the cost of housing a prisoner in the penitentiaries in Virginia. You know, that's independent of our ability to rehabilitate them after they get out and make them useful for the rest of their lives to the community. So I think from a cost-saving standpoint, we need to look at that. We also need to look at the ways we can better incorporate folks back into the community through the restoration of their voting rights. Virginia is probably behind most of the states in how we deal with, again, nonviolent offenders who, because they've committed a felony, perhaps they stole $201 in value out of a store and they're convicted of a felony as a result. They serve their time, they're out, and there's no easy way for them to get their voting rights back.
Virginia makes it very, very difficult.
Very
right?
difficult.
One of the most difficult states.
Right. Yeah. And there's a rationale for keeping some of the most violent felons from getting their voting rights back without going through a process. But those people who have committed serious crimes, to be sure, but not violent crimes, we want to figure out a better way to incorporate them back into the society, because voting is one way people participate. So those are things, you know, we're going to be looking at in the next assembly session, and hopefully we can save some money and also try to reincorporate folks back into the society in the process.
John, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
We have a line open at 977-1070. We're talking with Delegate David Toscano of Charlottesville. And Doug is on the line, too. Doug, you're on with David Toscano. Go right ahead. Thanks for the call.
Hello, David. I was just curious if you could maybe explain the governor's last week or so. He had a release, you know, explaining some new energy initiatives and green initiatives, and then how that might square with budget issues that are currently constraining everything.
Thanks for the question. I think the governor was responding to the recommendations of his commission on climate change. And there have been a number of recommendations that have come out of that commission. One, I think will get a lot of attention, will be increasing the standards for the use of renewable energy that is used by Dominion and other utilities. It's called the Renewable Portfolio Standards. And right now, those are voluntary standards by which the utility buys a certain percentage of their generation from renewable resources, solar, wind, geothermal, etc. Right now in Virginia, we have voluntary standards. I think we'll probably keep voluntary standards. Some of us would like to make it mandatory, but I don't think that's going to happen. But the target rates for the amount that's going to be used by Dominion and others, I hope, will rise. Independent of that, there'll be another number of other bills that come out of that commission's recommendations, which I think will be part of the governor's plan. We have not seen the specifics of that. I think it's not going to be big money because we can't afford big money right now. But the governor doesn't just want to retrench on everything. He wants to move the ball forward in energy, and it's really important that we try to do so given the limited resources that we have.
Doug, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 977-1070, if you've got a comment or a question for Delegate David Toscano, I know he'd love to hear from you. David, tell us about this Regional Transportation Authority for Central Virginia. What is it? What's your involvement in it, and what's the vision? There's still a lot of unresolved things here with this thing.
Yeah, right? There's a fair bit of confusion that's still out there. Let me try to separate them out. First, there's the proposal to create a regional transit authority. That's a governing entity that would enable the city, the county, potentially the university, to join together for the smooth and efficient operation of a joint transit operation. That bill, and I've had that drafted, and hopefully we'll introduce it, will simply speak to how this would work where the entities work together, the city, the county, and whoever else.
So the county wouldn't just give money to the city to help with bringing bus routes into the county. There would be a new organization formed, a new authority, where they all sit at the table together and they all pool their money and try to do this as a joint project.
Precisely. You said it better than I could ever have said it. So you would have certain numbers of people on the board who are from the city, certain from the county, and maybe some folks from the university, and they would join together to figure out how the system should operate. The city would put money in, the county would put money in, and they'd run the system. No additional revenue, no new taxes, just the governance. Okay. That's different from the Regional Transportation Authority. The Regional Transportation Authority is a concept by which you create an authority that deals with transportation issues that range from transit to roads to rail to anything that deals with transportation. That's the one that's most confusing right now because people have talked about the need for a revenue source that's local to help fund that initiative. And there are a lot of questions on what you do. Do you create a local sales tax? Do you create a local option gasoline tax? What do you do? And hopefully we're going to have that legislation drafted. Then we're going to circulate it and try to get comment before we determine whether or not we will introduce it this year. Local initiative authorities like this have had a very difficult time getting passed in the General Assembly. It's hard to say where this will go. There's some issues about whether the taxes that would be imposed should be imposed by referendum or whether they can be just imposed by the governing bodies. So there are lots of questions that need to get resolved before this goes
so much there's farther. The transit authority, which is, we're talking public transportation, and that really is a no-brainer and probably overdue to have that kind of cooperative working together between the city and the county. Then there's the transportation authority, which is really, at the end of the day, it's really a way to figure out how we can fund our own roads, because we're not getting money from Richmond.
That's right. I think people realize that Albemarle County is getting fewer and fewer. Well, they're getting smaller numbers of dollars compared to what they need from the state, and the state is not going to come up with more money in the short term. So the argument is, let us fund it ourselves. You're not going to give us the money. Let us fund it ourselves.
We're talking with Delegate David Toscano of Charlottesville, and Sarah is waiting patiently on the line. Sarah, you're on with David Toscano. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you. I'm sorry to revert from transportation issues back to education, but I wondered if it would be possible to suspend the SOL testing programs for a period of time while the budget is so tight, because that's a humongous amount of money that would not require teachers leaving the classroom, cutting administration, and I think it would be a very positive way to cut back somewhat on the expenses without harming the classroom.
Well, you know, that's an interesting idea. There's been a lot of discussion of relaxing some of the mandates that we impose on localities, including the school divisions, because we're going to ask them to have to sustain some cuts. I hadn't
and
heard.
And it costs money to do the testing.
It costs money to do the testing. Yeah. I hadn't heard that argument. I think that, you know, there's some of us who have some concerns about SOL testing anyway. But given it's such a regimen, it's been in place here for such a long time, I think that would be a hard one, because otherwise you can't get data that tells you how your schools are performing. So that might be up for debate. It's hard to say what's going to be proposed in this process.
Sarah, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. We're talking with Delegate David Toscano. We have a couple of minutes left. Let me ask you about the politics of the House of Delegates. What do you foresee the landscape in 09? It's an election year, of course. All those seats, the 100 seats in the House of Delegates will be up for re-election next November. I knew that headlines were made recently. The Republicans in the House agreed that they were going to require or they were going to finally record votes in subcommittee, which has been criticized by proponents of open government. I am one of them.
Well, I think that's a very indicating. That's a great indication of what's happening here. If you look on the statewide level, the Republican Party has been defeated at the polls in a number of recent elections. Jim Webb's election, of course, Mark Warner, which, you know, everyone thought he would win. The Perriello election locally. Obama wins Virginia. So the Republican brand has some questions attached to it. And this unrecorded vote business that the Republicans in the House imposed several years ago and they continued to defend was not popular in many camps in Virginia. And I think it was giving them some real problems. So the Republicans have decided, and I think a good decision, to open up the process and put recorded votes back in subcommittees. Now, the devil's in the details, so we're going to see how it works out. I think it's a good move. I think it's great for the Commonwealth. It's good for their party. So people will be able to hold their representatives accountable for the votes they take on a wide variety of issues.
Delegate David Toscano represents the city of Charlottesville and part of Albemarle County in the Virginia House of Delegates. Thanks for coming in. We got a whole lot more we wanted to get to, so we'll have to have you back.
Be glad to come.
Absolutely. We'd look forward to that.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.